Good evening. It's good to be here with you all this evening, and let's just bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the precious word of God. And Father, I just like to pray for missionaries around the world this evening who are translating your word into different languages. And Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom by your Holy Spirit to translate accurately into languages, Father, that are sometimes very difficult. And I pray you would help them to find the right words. And Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And we thank you for the many blessings we have in the English language. We thank you for men of God who have studied, who have written commentaries, and who have taken the time to translate the precious Word into English in many different times. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for this letter that you've sent to us and that you've told us all about yourself in it. Help us, Father, this evening to understand a bit more of it. And I just pray that you would bless each one that's come here this evening, and may they go home encouraged more so to be a testimony and a witness and to be an example to families and friends wherever they may go. We pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. I'd like you to turn this evening with me for just a few moments to Luke chapter 24. How did Cliff keep his pages from spinning? I'll put a cup on there. There we go. Thank you so much for your prayers this week. We had a great week at camp. It was a good crew of campers out and having a great rowdy time as usual, and we had a great time sharing with them the Word of God. It was a really interesting camp week in the sense that some of the campers were from here or from different assemblies, and as I shared, I guess it was 10 times spoke to them, and Ben would get up and ask questions. I think they could answer faster than I could, and so that was encouraging, or maybe that just shows how old I'm getting, but they were just really quick at answering. And at the same time, my niece, she had a cabin of girls, and also Hannah had some girls who were girls right from here in Sherwood and right up the Brackley Point Road, places like that, who had never set foot on that camp before. Some of them never set foot inside of a church building before. And then some of them were just, as I shared stories, I like sharing stories and stuff like that, and they would listen really closely, and as soon as anything touched near the gospel, making a choice, difference between heaven and hell, the heads went down. They were very hard-hearted, actually. And I was quite surprised to see that at their ages. And so we just pray that as we plant the seed, sometimes we'd like to do something, hopefully maybe even get in there and manipulate a little bit, but we got to remember that it's God's Word that's at work and His Holy Spirit. And just had a little bit of chance to talk to some of the ladies. Actually, my wife's sister, my wife's sister's husband is a Gregory, and one of the girls was a Gregory, and so there's actually some relation there, so I got out the computer and showed some pictures, was able to talk a little bit with these girls just to become a friend with them, and one is right beside Rod's clinic over here, a Smith, and so you can just be praying for different people who God brought to camp. Thank you. Yeah, I'll keep that one. That God brought to camp, and it was a really neat time. And just pray for keep them in your mind throughout the week. It's a wonderful opportunity. I know you know that, but it's sometimes easy to forget, or just to remember the Cliff as he speaks, you know, for wisdom in words, and for each counselor, it's a great ministry because we can actually see that the camp does a lot of work in reaching out to the lost. Thinking of friends back home that are saved now today in the Sherbrooke area of Nova Scotia whose parents were led to the Lord because of this young lady, and I know that you know stories like that. And so camp is a wonderful ministry, and just thank you so much for your prayers, for praying for us as we taught them this past week. Okay, so Luke 24, I just want to share a few verses from down in verse 44. This is the story about Jesus meeting those on the road to Emmaus. And there's just been, you probably know the story. I won't read it. If you'd like to read it on your own, I'll let you do that. But there was a lot of confusion at that time between the disciples and those followers of Jesus Christ. They were very confused. We thought that he was the one. And they were just very confused. And of course, Jesus said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And this past week when I was sharing with the kids, I had a chart, and it's always amazing if I had it with me now, just all the list of verses that are spoken in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament, and some wonderful testimonies of what would happen, what the prophets had said would happen and did happen. So we get down into verse 44, and it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." I would just like you to go back for a few moments, and as we look at verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." I'd like to go back in your mind for a few moments to that day, because I know most of you here are saved, if not all, to that day when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood shed was the only road to heaven. And as you think back about that time, that wonderful miracle, I'm hoping also that since that time you can look back and you can see some things that God has done in your life, and that God has touched your life and done things, and you'd say, "Boy, God did this in my life at this time, and that's just another step where in my Christian walk where I can say, I don't want to do anything else. I just want to serve him. I want to love him more. I want to know him more." And this week when we were at camp, I shared with how this Bible is a personal letter to us from God. And when I was dating Lois, and she sent me those wonderful little love letters, I didn't just grab them out of the mailbox, throw them in the corner somewhere. I was excited about getting them open and seeing what she had, what wonderful things she wanted, and whatever, you know how it goes. Anyway, and it was always exciting to get those letters back and forth. But it was even more exciting, of course, to see her. So back and forth, the boat made a lot of money off us, back and forth, but not for too long. But God sent this letter to us, and he wants us to get to know him. And we can't just be putting it in the corner, otherwise we can't wisely share the word of God or feel confident about sharing the word of God. But as we do, we get those stories we can come home with and we can share them with somebody else. You get excited because all of a sudden you can be in electrical school like I was, and the Lord convicting you to pray for that guy beside you, and you're not sure why he doesn't want you to pray about the other guy on the other side of you, and that's because he's saved, but you don't know that yet. And in this case, this guy was sitting beside me, and I went up to the cafeteria. I shared this with the kids this week. We went up to the cafeteria, and the guy beside me said, "Do you know the way to the cafeteria?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Follow me." So we get up there, and he said, "Can I sit with you?" And I said, "Sure, have a seat over here." So he sat beside me, leaned over to me, and he said, "I hope I don't offend you, but I pray before I eat." And I said, "No." I said, "I pray too before I eat." "Oh," he said, "great." He said, "So," he said, "well, go ahead and pray." So I prayed and thanked the Lord for the food. And so anyway, then as we were done praying, he said, "Guess what? I also carry a New Testament in my lunch can." And I said, "So do I." And we were able to share with these. Now, this guy was from, I'm going to share this with you guys. You can probably just keep this story in here tonight. But this guy was from the Rock Church. We might say the right-wing charismatics of whatever. They're not even welcome amongst the Pentecostals anymore. But this guy was a youth leader in the Rock Church over in Halifax. And so he said, "I know we think differently after we got talking a little bit, but," he says, we gotta pray together." He said, "If you're witnessing, I want to pray for you. And when I'm witnessing, I want you to pray for me." And so we got doing that. And the guy I was praying for beside me, I had a guy from the Rock Church praying, who for then I was in the Baptist Church. So a guy from the Rock Church is praying for a guy in the Baptist Church as he witnesses to who? A guy who was in the Gospel Hall. And he had not known the Lord. He had turned from the Lord. And so we were able to sit and have a little chat in the library one day, and I just asked him a simple question, why? And so he was able to share with me what had gone wrong in his life, and I said, but what did Jesus do wrong? And so after we went through the scriptures, which he had already known well enough, which he hadn't looked at for a long time, he went home that weekend, and needless to say, his father, who was a very faithful person to a meeting over in Nova Scotia, was very excited to see his son come to know the Lord. And so we're always excited about those things when we'd be sitting around the table, this guy from the Rock Church, and we'd be sitting around a table, and he'd say, Luke, whose turn is it to pray today? And I said, I guess it's mine. And so when I would pray, of course, he would respond. In other words, one day we had a bunch of guys sitting around the table. They were big men, too, and all in electrical class. And so I bowed my head, and I said, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then I'd say, thank you for this food that you provided for us. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Yes. It was going. So that's what he'd be doing. And, well, that's what it was like for us as we went through electrical school. And needless to say, some of those big guys, as they started to put their heads down to pray like this, and they were looking around the table, they all put their heads down as we prayed, but they didn't always sit with us after that. But I'm sure you all have got a story, and maybe you've told somebody, or you've been an example, or you've sent an email out to somebody. Each one of us do it a little bit differently. But the Lord works in our hearts, and we get excited about this message that we can share with us right to our neighbors, and to those where I go to in Papua New Guinea, sharing the gospel with them. But it's a wonderful message, and it's just, I wish I had done more of it. I wish I would just get out there and do more of it. I can shun a person, I can walk down the street, and it's just very easy for me to walk by and be busy with my own thing and forget about the people around me. But God wants us to be aware, and what I'd like to say is, in verse 46, another translation says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it says in another translation, Christ must suffer, and Christ must rise again from the third day. And so Christ did that. And in verse 47, or before I go there was a tribal person who was sitting around after hearing the gospel message, and he really caught the message, this older gentleman. And some young ladies were really bad-mouthing the guys who nailed him to the cross and said, wasn't that awful what had to happen? And he said, no. He said, it must happen, because otherwise there was no hope for us. And he began to explain to these ladies what God really had intended, is to provide for us a way to heaven. And so Christ must suffer. Christ must die. He must rise again the third day. And so he did his part. And now we look in verse 47. It says, and that repentance and remission of sin, not just should, but in another translation says, it must be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we're just so thankful for each one of you here that have a heart for missions. We see that in this assembly, and we thank the Lord for those who've got a heart for missions close by, heart for missions further away, and we just praise the Lord for it. But again, at the same time, I want to challenge you that there are many people in other parts of the world who know nothing about God, who don't understand anything about God is or who he is, and there's just so much need out there that we just pray that the Lord would send more people into his harvest to see other people come to hear that message of salvation. There are still people in Papua New Guinea and across the other side of Papua New Guinea who are fighting over missionaries, and as they move out to a tribe, and are not always happy when they see a missionary. I think sometimes missionaries get, they don't get harassed, but they almost want to kidnap them away, because they also would like to have them come visit into their tribe and see what's happening in these other villages and other tribes where they're hearing the gospel and coming to know Christ. So be praying with us as we pray that more missionaries would go out into this harvest, and we continue to appreciate your prayers and thank you for your prayers and your fellowship. They're really appreciated, especially when I'm looking down the long arrow of this guy who doesn't know why I'm there. And I met this guy, wrote it in a letter here a while ago, and he yelled at me before I got there was a guy who stopped me, and he asked me if anybody told me I wasn't allowed to be on this back road, and I said no, it was a government road, so it shouldn't matter. But anyway, I was riding this. I have this. Another missionary gave me this small four-wheeler that I could kind of get around where the roads are getting smaller. And so I was driving along. This guy stopped and he says, yes, he said, this guy doesn't want you traveling by here and said he doesn't want you on this road. And I said, oh, that's okay. I'll go make friends with him. And so this guy said to me again, he said, no, he's tightened his bow, basically meaning he wants to shoot me and finish me off. So another guy came along and he said he would ride with me if I wanted to go back that way. There was another longer way, which I didn't really want to take. And so anyway, as we went along, sure enough, this guy comes running out of the bush shaking his bow at me. And so anyway, I can remember my dad back in the early days of when he started preaching over in Nova Scotia. We were in a school and another guy didn't want him in the school. And he knocked on this man's door, but the man wasn't home and the man drove in with his car. And my dad's a kind of a aggressive person who used to be into judo and stuff like that. And he just ran right off the steps through the air like that and grabbed that guy's hand as he landed. And the guy was kind of taken back a bit. And I thought, I'll do the same to this guy. But anyway, so I stopped my four-wheeler quick and ran right over to meet him. And before I even got anywhere close to him, the bow went up, the arrow went back like this. And I told you never to come back here anymore. And so then I slowly began to ask him, I said, and he said, now I'm going to shoot you. So it got a little tighter back like that. And I said, well, can you tell me before you shoot me why you really don't want me here? And so he just told me again, I told you never to come back here again. So finally I said, well, you need to tell me what I did wrong. He said, you're the wrong man. You're not supposed to be here. And I think he thought I was some kind of an expat trying to steal business or something. Not that they have any business there, but anyway, he thought I was stealing something from their area. And so finally I had a book that I had translated over into the Cafe language, and I began to read that to him. And he all of a sudden realized that I didn't know the language well enough and that I had translated some stuff. And so slowly the bow went down, and there was other men gathering at that time. And I found out that this gentleman, as I got to meet the rest of his family, who were really, really nice, sweet people, they said he had a little business and he lost all his money in 1 week. And in the following week, his wife died. And then the following week, or almost in the same week, both his houses that he owned burned to the ground. And so in Papua New Guinea, in the mountains, there's lots of free marijuana that grows everywhere. And that doesn't really help them. And so he turned to marijuana. And that's why this guy was wanting to shoot me. But we sense the Lord's people praying for us when we're in situations like that. I think his name is Carson, by the way. They say cussing over there, but I think it just doesn't have the R sign sound in there. But just pray. We're hoping, Lord willing, to move into that area and begin just the next village up, actually, which is Musave. So if you can remember Musave at all, that's where, Lord willing, we're going to go back and teach there. Okay, before I chew up all my time, let's look at some pictures we put here. I don't know if we can make it any darker in here or not. I don't want to shut windows too much, but maybe we can just turn off some lights. Sometimes when we do video projections like this or PowerPoints like this, the ladies really like it when this picture obviously is squished together a little bit. But sometimes when you get them up there, they really go wide, and then they don't like that so much. But today the ladies will love it. Okay, this is us, our team in the Cafe tribe in the village of Keka. And Tracy Bernard is a single lady there that's with us, and she is from Sault Ste. Marie, from Assembly up that direction. And then the rest of us, from right over to left, is myself, Lois, Jennifer, and Julie. And so Julie will be leaving behind this year, and next year we'll go back with just Jennifer. So Jennifer's thinking about being the first one to take off for a while to the mission-based school, possibly, so you can pray for her with her about that. This was us back in 2007 when we were leaving. So to the left, that's Zara, Julie, and Zara and Julie that are going to be staying behind. So pray for them as they settle back here in Nova Scotia and probably maybe even PEI here. Seth loves PEI, so you might see him trying to find a job over here. So when we left you last time, we left from Nova Scotia and down around we go. You see the arrow, I don't know if you can see those arrows or not, but to the right side there, Australia, and then going up to Papua New Guinea. Praise the Lord. All those big birds always keep in the air. And this is a Canadian plane that's actually taken us up into the Highlands. And it floats along pretty good. There we are right there near a town called Kainantu. And that's roughly 6,000 feet is our elevation where we're located. So in the dry season especially, it cools down nice. And in rainy season, it's not too terrible hot like the coast would be. Okay, when we returned, we began meeting with the believers there and under two sets of tarps, Sunday school under one and then the adults under another one. There, we had left during elections, and that was a bit of a difficult time for our church because our church was split down the middle as to who they would actually vote for. And so there was a couple of believers who, when we came back, actually on their own, confessed sin and realized that they weren't treating their brother like a brother. And so we praise the Lord for God doing that in their hearts. And we had been standing out preaching, teaching in the rain, and sometimes in little huts, but our group was growing. So the believers there decided to build a bit of a, we'll call it a hut pavilion or something like that. And so different people came along, helped, and believers came and joined in and helped us to build a bit of a building, a structure. And there's a little, how it's forming together. That's woven bamboo on the floor and then on the sides, so we could have a little bit of a, rather than sit in the dirt. And so this will be a temporary place. Lord willing, we go back. One of our projects will be to build ourselves a little bit of a chapel. And so the believers began to meet in our new little building, and we just thank the Lord for those who are there, those who are standing strong. This is one brother who will see some other slides. His name's Fimo. And it's just really neat to be able to contact him. When we went back in 2008, there were mobile phones everywhere. And so the companies were trying to get travel people to buy them. And so they try to pitch together, they get their money together and buy them. And what they get, what they do is 40 times a month, if they have no money, they're allowed to send a text message to you. That's an automatic one, and it says, please call me. And when I've had too many of them, then I just text back, and I go, what for? And, of course, sometimes they get a little frustrated with me. But anyway, they have mobile phones, and some of them have speakers on them. So what's really been nice is at 10 o'clock Saturday night, after they have their singing on Sunday morning, I'm able to talk with the believers there. So they were all giggly and happy and everything like that when I talked with them 11 o'clock after they finished some singing. And they were just really excited to hear my voice again, and it's been nice to be able to keep contact, encourage them, and give them a little direction. So here we are, meeting in our little pavilion, and we thank the Lord just for your prayers as we meet together each Sunday. This here is for the children. This is a Sunday school class we also built. One's up higher, one's down lower. And so sometimes up to Wednesday nights, we get up to 50, 60 children, and the Lord's blessed us with children who've been coming out faithfully. Some of them have, whose parents are not really that interested or whatever, send their children along. But we've been able to have these kids out and see even a few of the older ones now come to know the Lord, who are really becoming strong in the Word. And there's a couple of kids who even are taking their Bibles to school. And it's really been neat to see some of these kids come to know the Lord. This is Tracy. She's teaching the children. She looks after that for us. And it's just really neat to see her take that and see her to work with the children and see them come to know the Lord then. This is Otto. She's been one of the first ladies. She's our teacher for literacy also. It's been really neat to see her grow in the Lord. A little while ago, she had been talking to some ladies, and I heard her say to the ladies, they were looking at 1 Corinthians 11 about the breaking of bread, and she was reading through it, and she read it to the ladies, and she said to the ladies after she was done, now, how much did you hear this passage speak about us? And all the ladies said, we didn't hear anything. She said, that's right, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just neat to see the little things like that that she picks up, and that she's able to teach others, and people who are visiting in her area, she invites people into her home, and she's just been a real witness. So you can keep praying for her. Pray for her husband, too, that he would come to know the Lord. He goes to the coast, and he does some kind of security work there. So these are some of the kids right around our area, actually, that come down that are part of the group of kids that come down to meet in the meeting there. And then some of them, of course, come from different directions. Sometimes the group grows, and we have some fun times together when they come meet. Even in and around our home, we have sometimes some fun times with the kids. Okay, so on the right-hand side is just the corner of, you can see barely the corner, right up top there, of our little meeting place. And then down below is where the children meet. And in between here, we've got a huge area cleared now. And this is where, Lord willing, we want to build a bit of a chapel. We thank the Lord for those people who also saw the need to get baptized. We have some people from different, few people that were from denominations that didn't know if they really wanted to. And after teaching the word, they were clear about the need for getting baptized. And then again, when we return, there are a number of brothers and sisters who are now understanding a bit more. And when we return, we hope to see a number more be baptized. When I left you last time, we were talking about, right about in the middle of this picture, going to a group of people that we thought we would teach next. However, we got quite busy with just the church work in our area. It's not just preaching every Sunday and preparing from the Word of God. It's translating from either English or trade language and then translating into the Cafe tribal language and making sure that you've got everything right when you're all done and that they're thinking. You can translate something, and you can think you've actually said everything perfectly right. And I translated once. Here, let me think, get my brain rolling here. I was translating about the story with Rebecca, where she was, her and Jacob were ready to, let me see if Isaac and Esau, hang on. Isaac, sorry, Rebecca and Isaac, there's a story about, hang on, where am I at? I'm getting the wrong people here. Help me out here. Esau, where Esau goes out to the field and his brother and Jacob and his mom are deceiving dad, basically. And so I just basically said, she says to Jacob, she says, go and prepare the goat. And that's about all she says in the scripture here. And so I say that in the language. But basically what I had said was, go prepare a goat that's not gutted and not skinned. And the guy, when I read it, I had translated perfectly from English, but that's what we have to do. We always have to make sure that we read the passage so that they're actually thinking the right meaning, right thing. And so it's very important when we translate the Word of God that we translate with meaning, that we don't just translate a chunk literally here and carry it over, because it's probably not going to work like that. So we often translate in paragraphs when we read the Word of God. So we do prepare messages from Sunday to Sunday and leave that with them. It takes a little extra work to do that, and we certainly appreciate your prayers as we do that translation. We felt it was needful before we got to teaching in other areas. We'd like them to learn to read and write. We want them to read and write and be able to understand what we're teaching, because we give out those messages each time we speak. And like I mentioned before, we have about 67 messages that we actually speak from Genesis to Christ's resurrection. And so we want the people to be able to read those when we're done. So we did some survey and found areas where people were really interested about learning to read and write, and we told them what our goal was. And there's probably about 5 villages that are excited about us coming, but it's in particular a couple of particular ones that are about an hour away. And these are some of the winding roads where we travel through to get to them, meeting people in their gardens. And they're a good distance away from us, so they don't know that I speak Cafe, and they're pretty excited when they hear me actually speaking their language. And of course, sometimes I take Jennifer along, and she brings candy along, and of course the kids love Jennifer and Julie when they come along with the candy, and that's just a little bit of an opportunity where we sit down with the men of the village and talk to them about what we plan to do. So these are just some of the villages where we visited, what it looks like. And kids are always happy to see us come, and especially, again, Julie and Jennifer. And it's been exciting just to be in these areas, because they're ready to put a building up or do whatever. Just come on over. And it's so much different from our place, because we're not too far from a small paved road. And whereas they're way off in the bush, they like to sit down at night, and they like to sit and talk, and they like to share, and they really want to hear what I've got to say and what we've got to teach. So we're really excited about hiking off to some of these places and talking to these people about the Word. Again, this was a place where one of the villages that really wants us to come, but they were having a peace mumu. A mumu is a like a luau, if you know what a luau is, a meal cooked in the ground. And so we were able to sit down and have some have a good conversation with these people and make friends with them. And there's 300 villages in the Kafe tribe, almost 100,000 people, and they're spread out over a huge area. I don't know how big it would be, but I suppose if you put PEI, squished it together, maybe into a box form, you might have closer to the size of what we would travel through mountainous areas. But to get from here over to Stratford would take you a couple of hours just by all these winding roads going up behind mountains and stuff like that. There's one gentleman there, especially in this village, that he'd really like us to come, and he offered us a piece of ground where we could set up a building right away. So, of course, he doesn't know what he's getting into, but I think some of them are more aware because of different... The Lutheran have gone through a few of these areas, and they teach the people in the trade language, but not so much in the... And when I'm talking now Lutheran, I'm talking about mostly who are Kafe people now. There's no white missionaries there. This is Musave, and this village, we're just really excited about going there, and the people are very enthused about it. We've sat down, spent some time with them, more time than other villages, talking about what we're going to do. And so Tracy's given them a little bit of a test run here, and it's really neat when you see little Granny, who's always carried a digging stick, going to her garden, digging sweet potatoes, and now she's actually, well, first they dig holes in their paper with the pencil, but eventually they turn that thing around and they're able to read and to write, and especially those who have a heart for it. There's one lady, she learned in, it's about a 36-day program, and I'd say in 3 to 4 months she became a teacher. So we just thank the Lord for that. Wycliffe Bible Translators had done a songbook, working on a songbook on in the next dialect, and so they had this book, and so they began to sing a few of the songs that they knew in there, and I sang along with them, which, of course, they all started laughing and kind of giggling and smiling and whatnot because they didn't know that I knew the language. This is Otto's girl, and she always likes to jump in the car with us, and, of course, her name is Rebecca, which is named after Jennifer Rebecca's middle name. So she's a namesake of Jennifer. So when you have a namesake, you're supposed to give them little treats every once in a while and kind of look after them once in a while. And so that's Jennifer's job. Again, we traveling in different directions and just thank the Lord for your praying for us. There's different times we get stuck, or sometimes near the edge of cliffs that we get a little bit too close or something like that, but haven't gone over, and thank the Lord for that. But there's always people around who are able to yank on the car. I keep a rope, and there's lots of horsepower amongst the people, and so they always pull me out of the holes I get into. And push me. The other day, just before we left, I had to get a chalkboard up to these guys who wanted to start teaching and in Musave. And so I had to get down into the ditch around this great big drop-off. The road tore away, and it dropped down about 15, 20 feet. And I had to get down in the ditch and get around going up. And it was no problem. But when I came back, when I got down to the ditch, my car was too wet and I couldn't turn up the hill again. It just wanted to plow straight to the river that was ahead of me. So I backed up a few times, couldn't do it, and then finally went up right to the edge of the hole, right where it's stupid to be. But anyway, I was right there, and I was ready to put in gear and just drive right off. And one of the guys was a friend of mine, a village leader's brother. He smacked the side of the car and he said, "Stop!" And so I looked out, and my wheel was starting to straddle the side of this edge. And so all the guys got up, and my car's pretty heavy, and they picked up the end of it, moved it over. I went a little further, "Stop!" And they kept moving the rear end over because I couldn't get around this. The front wheels were going around all right, but I guess the back wheels weren't quite making it. But we thank the Lord for His always giving us safety wherever we go. There was a lot of rain, and we got about 3 rainy seasons, it seemed like, right back to back. And it plugged up one of the brooks near us. This is the road nearby us, and just flooded this road, and some of the houses were actually covered, and so people were sitting in their homes, and all of a sudden their pots and everything were floating, so they had to get out of there pretty quickly. Here they're standing. This house is actually up on post, and they're still standing in water. So it was a difficult time for them. This was our water supply, actually, which is about 15-minute walk, 20-minute walk from our place up the mountain further, and so we've got a lot of work to do when we go back to fix this up because it's smashed out the cement. The water was as high as the stones up top there, off the screen, actually, and it just really made some big grooves into the mountain there and in through. It was just a typically the water runs like this, but the water just happened to get blocked up top and big flash floods come. And so anyway, that's a project we have to do when we go back. Sometimes when we're there, there's different people that come to visit us. This is a young guy studying to be a doctor from the States and was visiting New Zealand, then came and studied for a while at Papua New Guinea. And so we were taking him around town when we go into town, show him a little bit of the culture. And you go into a town like Goroka. Goroka is a little town, which would be the size of what, like going into maybe Montague or something like that. And you just meet all kinds of different language groups. So a lot of people in town would use the trade language. And so we have some interesting times visiting with the people there too. And different little kids on Sunday mornings like to jump in Lois's lap and just nestle there for a little bit while one of the brethren preach. Pray for Lois too as she's able to witness and talk and share with the ladies, encourage them. Often the ladies think in this setting, in this culture, that it's just something for the men, but we want to see their lives transformed. And it's just been neat because the women have been coming faithfully, and there's more and more women coming to know the Lord. This is our potluck. Some of the during around Christmas time or something like that, we get together. We have a bit of fun time with the believers, and we just they all get together and divide it all up, and we let them handle it. And it's a little bit of a time where we can Lois can share with the ladies again, and just get a bit of free time. We can just sit down, relax, and have a good time fellowshipping with them. Again, this is the girls. They take off and go visit some of the ladies and visit some of the ones that have little children and are able to just share and talk with them and meet some of the kids, invite some of them out to the meetings. And we're thankful for the two girls in the past couple of years to take part in the Sunday school and even teach. Usually Tracy does the teaching, but sometimes they've taught also, and a little bit nervous at first teaching in a different language, but we're just thankful to the Lord for them being there and them being involved. And we've got some real rowdies, and Tracy was brought up in a farm situation, a Bible school, Northland Bible School. There's some people have gone from there, from here to there, to the Bible school, but she's a great lady. She loves to, when she says to be quiet, she means it. And so anyway, and Jennifer's a little bit the same way. And so when a kid's not behaving, sometimes they just grab and set them down there and don't move. And so they really take control. So praise the Lord for all their help. This is a little baby possum. Never know what you might see on your tree nearby, but take that down through the village and you can always attract a little bit of attention and have some opportunity to talk with people. One of the things we really wanted to do was to get Musave to teach them about literacy. And all of a sudden it clicked to me that we're very busy with just getting the messages ready, let alone Bible translation. And so we were going to go up there to teach them literacy, and we're going to send Otto, who's standing up here, to be the teacher and kind of help her get settled in and make sure everything's going well. And they're not always that easy just to walk across borders into other villages, especially over mountain ranges. And so Otto, she seemed all right about it, and they said they would have her up, but it just rained and rained and rained, and we couldn't get her up there. And finally I called some of the men, and they said, no, we can actually come over the mountain and come to your place. Well, before we even did that, Otto said, I've got an extra house, and the church people said, yes, we can provide them with the food, and typically we'd want them to pay for the food, but they said, no, we'll take care of it. This will just be our ministry. We'll just have them over. We'll teach them to read and write. And so it was really neat. There was supposed to be more men to come, but what we decided to do is teach men who know how to read and write in the trade language, teach them to be teachers, and then go back to these other to their villages, and then they can do the work of teaching other people to read and write in the tribal language cafe. So this guy you can see with the red cap at the distance, he was just really, really excited about it. He was just happy to be there. He would be up front, really animated. When you read from left to right. He'd be up like that. And he was just really excited about just teaching people about reading and knowing that someday they could read God's Word. So this is my contact too. There, he calls me once in a while when I'm in Papua New Guinea. I hope to contact him yet. They don't have any power over the mountains, so they have to try charge their phones whenever they come over the mountains visiting us, or else if they can find somebody with a solar panel or somewhere to plug into. But there are a couple of guys who are really, they've offered us a whole area just to come set up and to even build a building if we need to or whatever. Then we have dummy day, and that's when I come down, and I say things wrong and see if they actually catch it. And actually, there's a letter that's in our phonetic alphabet that is said by people in Canada, but it's especially said from people who are up the Surrey direction of the island. And what they say is they say, the bottle in the kettle, put the kettle on the stove. And when you're saying kettle, you're actually saying a glottal in your throat. You're not saying any T's or anything like that. And so we say, we use the glottal in our language, is used a lot. You would say a word would be, what could I say? I could say, he, na, o. And what that actually means is one glottal is past tense, and the other glottal means two people. And I'm referring to two people, where you could refer to one, so the glottal would go out then. But so I would drop them out purposely, and then what they do is they come over and they, brother, 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 they always say to me, brother, 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 could you say that again? I think you said that wrong. You're actually, they would use the word lying. You're lying. You're not speaking truthfully. And so they come over to me and check me, and I'd be saying it wrong, and then they'd straighten me out. And then we wanted to put the course on for 3 weeks for them, and but they just blazed through it in a week. And we had it about a 40-hour period, and these guys went home with certificates to be teachers. So they were really well-schooled in trade schools in Papua New Guinea, and so we are thankful that they're able to go back now and do this. Camps, Seth and Zara taught at or helped at this camp. This is a camp for students, especially college-age students who come, and they are put in a program where they can assimilate it for missionaries, and then sometimes it's for workshops for Bible translation and conferences and whatnot. So Julie was there, helping out, teaching them a little bit about the trade language and how that works, and then also help doing some cooking. Back in our tribe again, this is Fimo, and he's teaching the difference between Adam and Christ and Romans, and so they're just finishing up Romans right now and are getting near there, and then they're going to move into the book of Ephesians. And so you can continue to pray that the Lord would just guide and direct, and that they would stay true to the word. Here's Fimo standing up front, and he's got old clothes on, raggedy and everything like that, and referring to his old life, and finally he rips them off and he throws them in the corner. He said, that was my old life. He said, I don't ever want to go back to that again. He said, I've got a new life. He said, you see my new shirt? He said, I like this new shirt. I don't like that old one. But he said, my old life was over there. And he says, now I'm a new creation in Christ. He said, old things are finished. He said, don't go back to it. Don't go back to your sinful ways. And so he comes up with these little illustrations on his own, and it's been exciting to see him. Here he's preparing for the Lord's Supper. We have that song, Gathered Round the Board. Well, there we are, on the board, on the floor. And but we praise the Lord for those who come, and come to the breaking of bread. And then, I don't know if you can see this or not, there's a little guy down there. I think he wants to dig into the bread or something like that. You have to sometimes catch him before he takes off. But we praise the Lord for those who come. Some of those who are not saved yet, sometimes they on their own sit outside, watch. And then in the our second meeting, then they come in and they join and sit down and hear the teaching of the word. We've been working a little bit with a Wycliffe missionary, so we're in between two bases, New Tribes Mission Base, 45 minutes one direction, and Wycliffe is in the other direction, and they have been working in the, this guy was a school teacher, and he just had a heart for the people in the next dialect, so we're trying to hopefully get this Bible to be more a user-friendly Bible for all the dialects, and so he's been asked me to help. He doesn't know the language as well, so I get together with these guys who he's using, who some of them have gone to the coast, gone to schools and learned English. So they're really great with helping him, and then I go down and help him with certain things that sometimes can trick us or words that sometimes are difficult to translate. He calls me in and we get together. So we might be getting together more and more. You can pray with us whether we would actually make a separate translation for the Kafe people or we can actually make this work. So he translated the book of John, and it seemed like our people could understand that. This is Fimo's wife, Carol. Just be praying for this for Fimo, because we don't think that she's saved yet. This is Julie. She's just visiting around before she takes off, visiting with some of the, in this case, believers. And this the lady here is Joyce. She also put her faith and trust in the Lord. She was really wild, but we just thank the Lord that she's saved and now trusting in the Lord. Lucy. This is Lucy. Most of them give us more modern names, and they also have their cafe names, which they usually don't tell us. But Lucy has just gotten saved, and it's interesting when you have a small baby church like that and everybody's babies, you know, it takes a lot when you have to take care of a whole bunch of babies. And so Lucy just got saved, but then she had an unsaved boyfriend, I found out. And so before I left, we had some chit-chats and had to catch up with Lucy so she's been coming out to the meetings faithfully, and just pray for her that she would stand strong. She told her boyfriend, she said, "This is what I believe." And so anyway, he hasn't really taken on to it, but she said, "This is what I believe, and if you don't like it, well, that's what I'm going to still do. I want to still fellowship with these people." So that's been great. This is Otto's sister. She was down on the coast, and she was happily married to a guy, but this guy took off on her one night and went with another woman, decided to bring another wife home, and this is Marie, and she went after this other lady with a knife. She got thrown in jail for it, and that was when we first were there. And after she got out of jail a few years later, she came up and she heard the gospel and she's gotten saved. And so she's really excited too about the word of God. This is F.A. He's the other guy. There's two men who teach the word. And F.A.'s young, and just pray for him. He just, he really loves to teach. And we're thanking the Lord for seeing how he's growing in the Lord as he teaches God's word also. Again, pray for the men, that they would stand strong in the word, different men sharing nervously on Sunday mornings. Here's the ladies saying goodbye to Julie. They give them string bags as kind of a present as they leave. And this lady here is kind of the mother next door to us, a mother that had her sons actually wanted missionaries to come, and that's how come people actually came there before us. But she was not happy with us taking away another one of her daughters, she said. And Kogirapa is Zeth, and she always asked about Kogirapa because Zeth would always hike up into her part of the village and go see the rest of the family there, and so she really misses him. Then it's time to take off, fly home, and we just thank the Lord that he keeps these big birds flying through the air and flying through the nights, and it's sometimes about 3 days to get back home here. But again, we praise the Lord for your prayers for us. We trust that you'll continue with us. Continue to partner with us for the Cafe Church, that they'll continue to grow in the Word, and that we'll see more people come to know the Lord. And again, remember Musa Bay. We're just really excited. There's probably about 300 in the village, and most of them seem like they're excited with our coming there and coming to teach them the Word of God. Thank you for your prayers, and we just really appreciate each one of you for thanking us and encouraging us when we're over there. Let's just close in a word of prayer.